we can't vote for this, and we can't. What good is it?
You're right.
What good is it? It makes you feel good. You got a little smile on your face.
False,
like,
sense of choice.
I marked a little piece of paper, and now my duty is done. It's like, no, your duty ain't done. You just got played.
You're right. And how many of those people out there that go out and vote actually go and vet these people correctly and actually go and look into their, look into what they're actually trying to do? None of them do.
Maybe
like,
two out
like
of
you
ten.
Said.
One or two out of ten might actually do a little research and look into what these people are actually about. And even at that point, you know, they're getting most of their information from the mainstream media, so it's complete garbage.
Yeah, most of them are, you know, whoever Sean Hannity, because he loves America, and whoever Glenn Beck, because he loves America, says, well, I mean, listen, Sean and Glenn love America, and I love America, so they must be directing me the right way. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, Alex Jones, what's he, oh, he loves America, so he must be directing me the right way. Well, you know what?
People love to have a leader. They love to follow, you know.
Blind faith.
Me personally, I don't love any flag. I don't love any nation. I don't believe it, like, when people talk about, Israel, they're threatening Israel's right to exist. I don't think Israel or America or anything else has a right to exist. Because all it does is put walls up that aren't real, that are drawn on a piece of paper to keep us divided. And as long as they can keep us divided by, you know, you live on this side of the imaginary line and I live on this side, or, you're black or you're red or you're yellow or you're gay.
Well, they love division.
As long as they keep us, as long as they don't, we don't go, hey, listen, there's really only two kinds of people on this planet. There are those who have, and there are those who have not. As long as we don't realize that, they win. Because those who have not far outnumber those who have.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah, you're talking, you know, people talk about the 99%. The truth is, it's really like the 99.9999, you know, like, you know, they're really, we're being run by 30,000 people, I'd say, about that, you know, and probably 100,000 or so are up there on the big scale. The rest of them are just people that are, slaves to the system or, you know, making off it. But for the most part, we're run by 10 to 30,000 people, I think. You know, that's pretty much the halves.
Jamie, let me ask you something real quick on the getting back to the, you know, getting off the grid and everything. What are some of the first, you know, few steps that somebody can take, you know, besides, you know, the obvious things like Dom was talking about, like, you know, getting solar panels and not dealing with the electric company and things like that? What are some of the things that maybe people don't think that they could easily do that are kind of a big step in that direction?
Well, you know, here's a good one. And living in a rural area, living in Philadelphia for 6 years, you kind of learn how to adapt to the concrete jungle. And one way that people, food is a big issue, you know, that we're all talking about, what we're being fed. Get some 10-gallon buckets, get some soil, get some heirloom seeds, plant your seeds, grow your vegetables all summer. That's one way. You don't have to go down to the grocery store to buy your vegetables. So you've now stopped consuming on that level, you know, and you're learning how to do something for yourself and to grow your own food, which gives you an accomplishment, and you're proud to eat your food, so you want to do more. And it's a way to get you to start looking at things that way. Like for myself right now, until we go to Mexico, because for me and Ricardo, we cannot afford to go off-grid in America. What Dom said is absolutely correct. For us to do this, we have land in Mexico. We are going to set up there. We have basic things like a well, and we have minimal use of electricity until we get our grid working. There is already a place set up for a garden area with irrigation ran and everything that just needs to be fixed up. It's some minor things just to get us going, you know, and the idea that we see, if other people are feeling this and say one of you guys said, well, I have $5,000, $6,000, and, you know, what would I be able to do to go off-grid in Mexico with you guys? Well, if it was something that worked with you and our project was the same, that little amount of money could build you a home, get your piece of garden, and start getting you self-sustainable off-grid. Not saying you have to do it in Mexico, but for us to be able to start something now for people to watch, this was the easiest location to start establishing that. that.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see that, and it's a great idea. I mean, how long ago did you, you know, start, you know, basically getting the wheels in motion for this?
Well, I met Ricardo on November 11th in a Facebook group. I was talking about civilizations and living life a new way, and he just sent me a message, and instantly, within those first few days, everything that we saw, a lot of the same things for the future, you know, we saw a lot of, you know, the things about the, you know, the elite, and we agreed on a lot of that stuff, and we agreed we don't want to feed the problem anymore, and we also agreed that we saw that living simplistically was the answer, because we've fed into this complicated, complacent machine far too long that it's such a monster now. How are we going to take it down? Well, to take it down, we have to just stop living in it. Stop letting that be our reality. And we understand it's going to be difficult for people to grasp those ideas, but like Brian said, there are ways you can start small. You know, there's online right now on YouTube. We're actually going to try it because we're very interested. It shows you how to make a small solar panel so you can run your laptop.
Wow,
so we're
going
to try it, you know, and if we're able to make that, well, we found out how to make a solar panel.
That's
we don't have to
cool.
go buy one now. There's plenty
cool.
of, yeah, there's so much information out there, and there's a huge world of it, but people aren't taking it and putting it together and really putting it to use for the greater part, because I don't think people are really seeing it. Everybody are like, oh, you're hippy-dippy, or, you know, you're some crazy religious fanatic that wants to just, you know, go live and hug the trees. It's not that, you know. I don't want to be a part of a machine anymore.
They love the
I was
you
a corporate
don't let anybody
slave.
Put a label on you.
Yeah, I mean, I was the corporate slave. I drank the Kool-Aid. I went to my drone job every day, and you know what? I wanted to kill myself every day I went to work. And you know what? When I lost that corporate job, I've been out here fighting to get a job like most of the Americans out here that have been suffering through stuff, I saw something. I saw I was grateful that I lost that job because you know what? I don't go out and buy $400 Coach bags because I can. I'm not going out there and just doing these materialistic things that don't matter anymore, and I'm actually looking at my life and I'm saying, what can I do to become more self-reliant? Because I'm dependent on this green and white little dollar bill to give me a roof over my head, to put food in my stomach, and to give me the what I need to live, when I should be depending on myself because I was born with those skills.
Wow, that's such a great attitude. It's so refreshing to hear. It really is.
Well, thank you.
I'm glad you called tonight. You know,
I'm actually glad it worked out, too. You know, Brian, every time for some reason I listen to your show for a reason, right?
Yep. Now, Dom, you're from the same area, right? You're from Pennsylvania? You say you're from Pennsylvania, right?
That's correct.
Both of you.
Yeah, I'm in Pittsburgh.
You're on the other side. Yeah, I'm actually in upstate Pennsylvania right now. I'm no longer in the Philadelphia area, but so...
Do you guys think there's different areas of the country where more people are awake as opposed to others, like maybe in your area, Dom, as opposed to mine? Or do you guys think it's just pretty much the same everywhere?
I think it's just sporadic. I think there's some people that have always questioned what goes on around them. Some people have chosen just to ignore it. And, you know, and there's people that have kind of lingered in the middle, and they're the ones that keep jumping for the saviors, I hate to say, but they haven't really learned to seek within themselves yet, you know, for the real answers to fix things, you know, that are the issues. And those are the people we need to reach. Those are the people that, you know, we need to show you can do this, you know. It's not that difficult.
Some people won't put any effort. You know, some people won't even, you know, they won't even read something that's 2 pages long, and they'll just, you know, they'll just tell you how wrong you are, and, you know, they won't look into anything. And then you have other people like, you heard, I don't know if you heard Dom talking earlier, he went to Shanksville. You know what I mean? He went out there
right.
and talked to people. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what people need to do. You know, people are just so lazy.
We're fed. Look at how easily we're fed information. You know, and oh, we don't have to read anymore. And we don't have to search because it's at our fingertips, and we can just accept this first answer because that's what CNN says.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't look at what MSNBC
on your phone,
and
like government issued alerts on your phone.
On the issue of 9/11, a lot of people demand a new investigation. And it's like, who's going to do the investigating? It's going to be the same group of people that, well, not the same exact group, but they're going to work for the same people that did the last one. And just like Kennedy and everything else, you're going to get the same results. When I, you know, people demand a new investigation or whatever, we want answers. It's like, I know, just like here I am close to Shanksville, I know there are people that are close to Arlington, Virginia, and I know there are people right in New York City that want a new investigation. It's like, all you have to do is pick up a phone. All you have to do, if you have a camera, you can find witnesses. You can find firefighters. You can find police officers. And you'd be surprised how willing they are to sit down and talk to you. And even if it's off camera, like, for every person I've talked to on camera, I've talked to five or six off camera who are like, yeah, you know, I don't want to be on a video. I don't want to be on the internet, whatever. But you can find your own truth. You don't need someone else to find it for you and provide it to you or come and tell you that what you suspected was true. You can find that out for yourself if you have the will and the desire to know that, to find that knowledge. You can go out and acquire it.
Absolutely.
Even if you're on the other side of the country, you can find names from, you know, reports from media or whatever and call people. You can just call them and talk to them, and you'd be surprised. They're willing to talk.
Even blogs and chat rooms, I mean, yeah, some people don't take that as a viable source, but, you know, a lot of times you do meet people in different areas, even of the world, that can really expose you to some things that you didn't really quite realize it was as such, you know, and there's a lot of ways, you're right, to get the information's there. It's waiting.
Yeah. I purposely try and make friends in all different countries. Today, I made friends with a woman from Iran. So, obviously, that's very beneficial to what I'm trying to do right now and get information out and get an inside handle on what's going on over there. And the thing is, people, you know, they'll think they want to be awake or they'll tell you they're awake. And I know a few people personally that are like this. You know, I showed them stuff about 9/11 way back when. You know, it was loose change and all that stuff. And a lot of that turned out to be disinformation. But you know what that did is that was like a light switch with me, and that woke me up, and it made me realize that I was being lied to about a lot of things, and it made me look into everything else, you know, from the moon landings to, you know, everything in between, you know what I mean? It's just everything. We've been lied to about everything, and that helped me realize that. And, you know, you have people that swear they're awake, and they'll go to a certain point, and now it's just like they get sucked into that the almost like the popular second opinion, the second official story of everything, like, you know, whatever the alternative media spin is, it's like this. So they just eat it up, and you can't even tell them different. And it's like, I don't know.
Well, their problem is, Brian, regretfully, because I see that too, because I talk to people more on a spiritual level, because that's the way I look at things. So I run into those people constantly, and what the problem seems to be is they're like, oh, well, I'm awake, so I know everything, so I don't have to know anything else because I know it all. Brian, yeah, and Justin and Dom, we all know the truth is ever-changing, and what may be true to you today, you're going to learn tomorrow something different that you're like, wow. You know, I constantly learn. I don't know about you guys.
I didn't wake up till a year and a half ago. So for 33 years, I pretty much didn't know anything. So now I'm supposed to think that in a year and a half, I learned everything. That's the truth.
Everything.
I mean,
that's
freaking half behind.
Well, I'll tell you like this. I'm constantly learning. I think that with Brian, a big part of his is the fact that he didn't have a lot of the preconceived notions that a lot of these so-called truthers have. So he was able to come in, but a lot of them are so stuck in their ways that they refuse to look at any new information because they that'll ruin the theory that I already have in my head.
Right. And
even
see,
when I know
like,
it's wrong, I look at it.
For myself, I won't take in any information until I feel inside me that I need confirmation on what I feel is wrong, because I feel if I read too much and get into too much video, then you know what? My head starts going in that direction, and I'm like, oh, wait, you know, I got to pull myself back here and realize, you know, it's all subject, I guess, you know.
Now, you can never trust a person who has all the answers.
Mm-mm. No, well, what is it? That's making you a fool, basically, because no one has all the answers.
Or one of these people in the media that doesn't respect other people's opinions, and their opinion is always the best, and every other thing else is crap. Well, that's not being a good researcher, is it? I mean,
no, because you should want a challenge. I mean, that I personally like for me, I like to wrong, be like when I'm proven wrong, yeah. I'm the first one to be like,
yes.
"Whoa, like
it's
look at this."
Right?
Yeah,
yeah,
like
you want to know the truth. You don't want to be wrong. You want to be corrected. I hate being wrong. Then I feel bad about everybody that I lied to.
I do too, and I feel like I have to clarify.
I do. I go to great lengths to clarify. I mean, it makes me. It kind of eats me up inside because I try and really verify things before I put it out there. But sometimes you mess up. You've been fed too much disinformation from so many places that you know you mess up, and you know you got to admit you're wrong. And that's the biggest thing I think. You know, people can't admit they're wrong. That's I mean, it's simple as that. People cannot admit that they were wrong.
It's pride. It's pride and ego, basically, is all it comes down to. And that basically comes back to that divide and conquer. You know, we've been programmed that way, just like we've been programmed to not think that we're the same. Okay, well, everything that's alive on this planet needs to eat, it needs nourishment, and it needs a way to survive, correct? So everything on this planet basically needs the same essential things to live. So why do you think you're anything better than anything else around you? Because everything needs to survive. Everything should have the same right to survive. We're alive. We're here. We should get to live, right?
I definitely hear you.
How do you continue to do this? How can you continue to, fight this battle? And a lot of the times I answer, I want someone to prove that I'm wrong.
Right.
I actually want to be wrong because the second I find out I'm wrong, that's great. That is so great. If I'm wrong about everything, then I will be so happy. I will dance in the streets. I shit you not. I will go out and be like, wow, what a weight taken off my shoulders to know that none of this was real, that I was wrong on everything. That would be the greatest thing in the world. But sadly, that person hasn't come along yet to prove to me that I've been wrong on a lot of this.
Never mind, prove you wrong. People don't even want to challenge you on the facts.
But they'll tell you
you're wrong, and then they'll walk away.
Yeah, they don't even want to battle it because they're like, all right, well, you just kind of put me in a corner, so now I'm just going to walk away. And it's like, well, shouldn't you want to finish the conversation and maybe we can both learn something from each other, you know?
Exactly. Justin, sorry. What were you saying, buddy?
No, it's crazy. I was going to say the thing is I've learned and changed my mind on so many issues so many times, that it's only natural, and I think that – you know, people come out and stick to the first theory they hear, you know, for whatever it is, you know, and if I wasn't still researching every day, I wouldn't have, I always thought something was funny about the whole Ron Paul thing. But when I really got into the whole gold thing, like, you know, and started looking into that, now it's like, well, you know, obviously he's been, you know, they've all been lying to us. So what's the real truth? Now it makes you want to find out that much more. And that's just like what it is for everything. 9/11 or, the politicians or, you know, child trafficking, anything that there is, you know, even the fact of, you know, looking into some people think that, you know, the world is run by just the Zionists. Some people think it's run by just the monarch, you know, some people just the Jesuit order. I think that, you know, it's something that you can't throw anything out until you've actually gone into that world and proved it wrong or, you know, and then again, you might get proven wrong yourself. So, I mean, you know, that's the thing. I think some people jump too quick to a certain side, you know, and that's a problem with a lot of people. I don't know. I think it's just the fact that people are so used to, like a team atmosphere. You know what I mean? Like rooting for the same. I don't know. I don't know if you get what I'm saying, but regardless, it's programming. That's all it is. And it still shows up in everybody, even awake people, you know.
Absolutely. We're all taught to drink each other's Kool-Aid. You know, we're not taught we're not allowed to have individual thoughts. You know, we're supposed to think as a unit. And, you know, I've kind of thought about that even with mental disorders with people. I wonder if that's where a lot of that stuff starts, because there are people that don't see a box of life. There is no box, you know, and their minds are free, and the programming of life breaks them because they don't have the mind to really comprehend the programming that we do have to go through.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of crazy if you start to really look deeper into things, you know, and Justin, you know, you sound like, you know, you're on an edge of the search where, you know, I was a few months ago, or, you know, even a little bit longer at times, but I've gone back and forth. But it seems like you're on the path of finding out basically why, you know, and why are we being lied to, and why is it so important to keep the lie alive, you know, and when you get to that answer, you know, I think you're going to definitely be pleasantly surprised, because that research definitely pays off in the end. You know, when you start to really see why it all is there. And
well, I think I'm at the point I do know why. I do know it's all about power, and it's all about
control.
Control. That's what it is. A lot of people think it's money, and money is just a symptom. Money is just another thing. You know, the
it's
main
a tool.
Right.
They can make money. They can't make control.
They use money to give us something to chase. And they make us broke, or you can get rich, but the whole thing is right. It's all about control, and that's what they've been doing for so long. That's why they have the Hegelian dialect. That's why it's just divide and conquer. You know, like I said before, with the slave example and the Irish, you know, servants, or, you know, even nowadays, you know, making, you know, poor whites hate poor Mexicans, you know, or make it, it's just the same thing over and over again. And that's all we're seeing. And they've done it forever. They've co-opted every group possible. It's just, you know,
absolutely. Speaking on that, I've been watching that Border Wars show, and getting an idea. And, yep, you know, I understand whatever their war on drugs, I really could care less about that. But what really gets me is those people that cross like 3 borders to get here, to hope they can clean someone's toilet, to send money home, to take, yep, care of their family, because it's so bad where they live. And they're doing jobs, for the most part, most of us fat, lazy Americans, because I am one of them, doesn't want to do.
Right.
You know? And then we get mad. Well, those jobs aren't there for us when our economy goes wrong. Well,
yep,
we didn't want to do those jobs when our economy was going great.
Well, a lot of the situation down there is caused by us, too.
Exactly, by
the CIA and the control of the drug cartels and everything else. That's what makes the situation that it is for them down there.
Well, isn't it funny that we get to hear about all the drug cartels like in Mexico, but do we hear about the U.S. drug cartels? No, we don't.
Well, because the U.S. drug cartel is the CIA.
Exactly, so we don't talk about that.
Yeah. You know, the whole thing, though, you go to these leaders in Mexico, you go back to guys like Manuel Noriega, you go back to these people, they all had the blessing of the CIA. You know, even, what was his name? The big guy from Medellin.
Escobar.
Yeah, Pablo. There you go. Pablo. You know, these guys were allowed to do what they did by the CIA for a certain amount of time, and when they got, you know, done with them,
just
they
like
rubbed
the
them
dictators.
Out. And
just
yeah,
like
and
the dictators.
Right.
Just like the coups they pulled in Iran, just like Operation Gladio all through Europe. People don't understand what they did by, you know, upsetting these governments and supporting these coups, just to get these countries in line with the, you know, eventual agenda. And that's what it's all been about, you know. So it's really upsetting once you, you know, once you realize that everything, you know, you learn is a lie, that we never landed on the moon in the Apollo missions, you know, that, you know, I can go on and on, but it's
absolutely. Yeah.
That was a fun one. I had so much fun learning that.
It's like Santa Claus, you know, I mean, they're all preconditioned lies, you know, it's all stuff that we've just been fed to take for granted, you know, and it is sad. And but the good thing is, like I said, when you figure it out, you know, you get closer to finding your personal freedom. And like I believe it was Dom who said that earlier, that's ultimately our goal, is, you know, to be free of the oppression of the thumb. You know, we no longer need to be under that tyrannical boot, so to speak, you know, and you know, people can take care of themselves, you know, I mean, if people really tried and people really worked on it and really made an effort, we really could. So,
of course, you know, and here's the thing. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Dom.
I was going to say, you're always going to have some people, I mean, naturally, who can't. You're always going to have some people that, I mean, no matter what's going to happen, and they're going to act like savages. And that's just a fact of life.
Right.
But the fact that some people are going to act like criminals doesn't mean that the rest of us need to be treated like criminals.
Exactly.
That's what it comes down to. And real quick, to touch base on something you were talking about earlier with the quote-unquote illegal workers or whatever coming and taking our jobs, that shows how good propaganda works in this country, because so many people
right.
are so mad at, oh, that Mexican took that job, that had been my job. But none of them are mad at the person who went and picked the Mexican up and paid him the money, though. None of them are mad at that guy who, instead of hiring somebody in here and paying them
right.
a respectable wage, they're not mad at him. They're mad at the guy who came over and took the job for $3 an hour. Like, that guy was really going to pay you $15 an hour if this guy wasn't here.
Like, exactly.
That guy paying right. that money is the problem. If he wouldn't pay that money, if there was some kind of punishment for him, if he got fined $40,000
right.
for every illegal worker he had, he would hire people and pay them $30,000 right. to go do these jobs.
You know, and that's the whole thing, too, is and no, nobody says anything about the government going and outsourcing all of our manufacturing jobs to China, you know, for slave labor, while we have starving Americans here. You know, it's the thing. It's so hilarious that these people don't notice the symptoms of what's causing it. They just blame what they see, and you know, they see a Mexican guy doing a job and getting paid $10 an hour. But you know, like you said, it's these bosses that are scumbags. It's the globalists that have done all this, and it's all it's all symptoms, and again, it's class warfare, pitting us against each other.
Exactly. Divide and conquer.
Yeah, that's always been the way. Yep, it's always been the way.
As long as we fight with each other, they can sit back and laugh, and they can get away with all they want, and we're distracted. And, I mean, that's been their MO the whole time, and that's what it'll always be.
That's
they will always
one of the main features of
hate.
The two parties.
Yep, and they'll always give us someone to hate. It'll be communist, or it'll be terrorist, or it'll be, you know, this,
right.
this group here, that group here, whatever group, liberals, conservatives,
yeah,
hate
exactly.
somebody. There's a reason
they
to hate
it so
them.
Much.
Yeah,
as long as you don't hate the owners, that's all that they care about.
Oh yeah, you can't forget the gays in there, because that's always been a big one.
You know, that really pisses me off too. That's a whole nother topic.
Yeah, well, you know, it Ricardo actually kind of mentioned, because he's listening through the headphones, so he had said that, and he's right. You know, we just look too much at the distractions. It's actually kind of sad, you know, that we're 2012, and we do have people that still think, you know.
I know people that put parties before their own family, and these
yeah.
political parties are just there to distract you, and they laugh at you behind the scenes.
Exactly.
You
they don't care about your
are,
family.
No.
When did they come
no.
feed your family a meal? When did they come and clean your house or help you cut down that tree that fell into your, you know, driveway? You know, they don't do anything like that, you know.
No, yeah,
absolutely.
You see people crying on TV when, you know, some, like, world leader dies or something like that, or some celebrity.
Or Whitney Houston.
Whitney Houston, yeah. Anybody, like,
it's like,
you know, but nobody cares.
At your funeral.
Nobody cares about how much we're, you know, people are dying by the thousands for no reason. You know, for things as simple as fresh water and some food, you know, and And all over a dollar. Well, you know, there's enough food that
every
gets
day,
wasted that food before it gets wasted could be sent to those places, and those people would be able to eat. You know how much food we throw away.
You also have farmers being paid
to not
farmers being paid to not grow crops as well
yeah.
too.
Oh yeah, and that's happened since the early 90s. I was fought on that when I lived in Colorado at the time, and you know, the plains was just farms and corn, you know, since I was a little girl. And then like 92, 93, 94, I noticed that the crops stopped. And then I noticed that corn, anything corn substance, tasted funny and fake, and it had like this synthetic taste to it. I no longer liked it. And then I learned that they're paying the farmers not to grow. And in early 2000, I got a job in Minnesota, and I worked in a building with a place called Syngenta Seeds, scientifically, genetically altered seeds. And I didn't quite understand, but I always knew there was something going on. Like milk, we used to get fresh milk delivered to our house. I drank that milk like it was going out of style. Ever since we had to buy it at the grocery store, I won't touch milk. Won't touch it to save my life. And it's nothing that anybody taught me. It's my instinct saying, I don't want that because it doesn't even taste real.
Right. With the growth hormones they give the cows, they radiate. It is.
The girls are going into puberty at 9 years old.
Yep.
Exactly.
And then they cover it up. Monsanto covers it up. They bought off, you know, tried to buy off some reporters. It's unbelievable.
You look at the big like the pharmaceutical companies. There was a story came out a while back that GlaxoSmithKline. The company I work for, I ended up contracted out to them. What GlaxoSmithKline, one of the big pharma giants, does is they hire ghostwriters and they pen these things saying, you know, my drug's safe and this clinical study showed this and we did that. And then they get some doctor to attach his name to it when they haven't done anything. Now, just an idea, when I was contracted over to this place, they came around, and because we were contractors, they had to come and ask us, would we be willing to take a vaccination shot if it required it to remain employed there? And then it was, how about your family? Would you be willing to bring yourself and your family in to get vaccinations for you to remain at this account? And I was the one who was like, hell no. Everyone else was like, oh, yeah, whatever. You know, it's my job. I got to do it. And I'm like, no, you're not going to, you know, shoot me and my family up with this shit. And, dude, 2 months later, the swine flu broke out in Mexico. And if you go and you look at all the swine flu stuff from that was going on in 2009, and you look over at Europe, GSK was the biggest pusher of the antidotes behind that, the vaccines and all that. And they were working with the WHO to make all these countries try to voluntarily sign up for mandatory vaccinations of their population against the swine flu. And
so
I was
testing
like, wow. Yeah, I was like, wow, before this thing even broke out, 2-3 months before it broke out, they were coming around at work and asking the contractors if they were willing to get themselves and their families vaccinated to remain employed there. It's like they knew it was coming. They absolutely knew it was coming. Not only did they know it was coming, but that means they were the ones who were probably releasing it. That was just the common sense. Because once that stuff broke out, and I was like, wow, I was working at GSK. I was contracted there. And they came around asking us this before this shit came out. It's like they knew. They had insider information they were going to create some kind of pandemic. And they were going to, you know, push their things. And if you go and you look this up and verify what I say, over in England, GSK was working. They were working with the EU. They had people up on the EU on the board, and they had people over in the WHO, and they were trying to get 70-some countries mandatory vaccinations for swine flu.
Right, wow. and they already knew that they had the bird flu was infected or what. The vaccines that showed up that were already infected with bird flu and everything else, you know, there are so many different things. Another story that a lot of people don't know about was this guy. He worked for Baxter Pharmaceuticals, and his name was Moshe. His last name was Moshe. I forget his first name, but either way, to make a long story short, this guy was blowing the whistle, saying that they were going to pull off a major, bioweapon attack, over in Europe and in Ukraine, and actually they had sent over a bunch of swine flu samples and vaccines, and they gave them to guinea pigs. The guinea pigs all died. To make a long story short, a few weeks later, they chemtrailed the shit out of Ukraine. And then people were dying. Their lungs were turning black, and filling up with blood. It was like they introduced a little bit of the black plague, back into Ukraine. What happened to this guy though is he actually was trying to. He called into a radio show, reported this, was trying to make it the next day to the consulate. He got pulled over by the FBI. They tasered him. Filled his car with tear gas. He was obviously like a, you know, Israeli Mossad type, and finally pulled him out of the car, It took him like $200,000 to do it. And the reason they did it, they said he threatened the president. The guy hasn't been heard from since. He was last known. He was being in a jail in L.A. But, you know, so it just shows there's been whistleblowers. But, you know, the mainstream media hasn't done their job in a couple decades. And it's totally, it's just totally insane how many whistleblowers came forward with swine flu, you know, just like with climate change. Just, you know, it's the same thing, but yet they don't want you to hear it. So, you know, you're not going to know about it.
Yeah, the fourth branch just belittles them and calls them names or doesn't acknowledge them. Like we said earlier, once you're on TV, once Fox News, CNN, whoever puts somebody on the screen, you know that they're working for the enemy, because they wouldn't be on there if they were any threat whatsoever.
Exactly.
The establishment will do everything they can to make sure you never hear their name or their work.
Exactly.
No,
but yeah,
right.
That's true. I remember when that happened, and I believe there might even be, I can't remember if there was video or if there was just pictures.
Yes.
But there were so many eyewitnesses. They said that guy sat in his car. I don't remember the exact time, but I mean, it was 10, 15 minutes with the car full of tear gas, no mask on, no nothing. It didn't faze him. And that's when they're like, he had to be through some kind of training before, because that tear gas had no effect on him.
Right.
But yeah, he disappeared after that. He was gone.
Yeah, he was in a little Volkswagen too, and they pumped it full of tear gas. And this guy was sitting there, wouldn't get out of the car. I believe it was over an hour that he stayed in the car, and they ended up sending a robot up and busting out the windows and everything.
Yeah.
And then they ended up ripping him out. Joseph Moshi was his name, by the way. That's the thing is, you know, until people stop paying attention to the mainstream media and actually looking it up for themselves, you know, we're in trouble. Until we get a critical mass of people that think like us, you know, that's why it's so important. And that's why I'm so, I get so aggravated, with what's been going on. And you know, like the other day, Dom, you posted something about, about really how you wanted to take the blue pill again. You know, it's almost like
the I don't give a shit pill.
yeah, exactly. I don't. Yeah, right. The fuck it all pill. You know, and that's the thing, because you know, when you see these people out here that are supposedly awake falling right back into the same traps over and over again, you know, and you see them, everybody regurgitating the same garbage, it just gets to the point where it's like, you know, I give up on the human race, and that's sad, but. You know, I just can't believe how many people get sucked into PSYOP after PSYOP.
You know,
we can never give up.
That's how I agree.
People
we
like
can't
us
give
and
up.
Connecting and getting the word out. No. And that's why, you know, radio shows like this are great. And every time we see somebody that actually thinks like us, I think we need to reach out to them. And, you know, Justin, you know, I've been trying to do that with different people, like in the movement or whatever. You know, I just think that's what we all need to do. When you see the small percentage of the truth movement that really, really gets it, throw them a message. Be like, hey, I see we see eye to eye on some of this stuff. Why don't we talk about this and go on their show? Call in like Jamie's calling into here, you know, like Dom's calling into our show. That's what people need to do, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
put our ideas together.
I mean, we're not a minority. We're definitely not the minority.
No, I mean, and there's enough of us out there. If you,
go ahead.
Sorry, it seems like it's a matter of getting to those people or those people connecting with whomever. I mean, look at the four of us have now ended up on this conversation, and who knows, you know, maybe a month from now there'll be eight of us. You know, and if we just keep thinking about it that way, just like Brian said, there's a lot of us that are just waiting out there, you know, until I realized there was other people out there, I kept my mouth shut.
Uh-huh. That's what I was going to say, is that we're not the minority, it's just there's not that many outlets out there for other like-minded individuals to, you know, go, wow, there are other people who get it, there are other people who see it. And yeah, that's why the things we do, what's going on here, and shows like this are just, you know, so important in the big picture. And it might be, you know, 20, 30 years down the road before any of us realize what, you know, our place was in this battle. But I think in the long run, I mean, because quitting isn't an option. It isn't, because quitting is just submitting and accepting slavery. And, you know, like I don't know, the old saying is, I'd rather, what, die on my feet than live on my knees. And that's, you know, we can't quit. So winning is the only option. Being free, fighting for this freedom to get away from all this, but there is no other option. There isn't. Well, I don't know if you guys got kids. I got kids. And that's my motivation, is I don't want them to grow up into this system and end up being, as it was put, there's a video, if someone hasn't seen it, called, I think it's The Story of Your Enslavement, where, you know, you find out, hey, I'm wasting, I could be making more money if I have my slave stop picking cotton, because he's smart and he could be a doctor and he could generate more money for me like that. That's what we got to end. There's a big giant tax farm. We're all like cattle, and I don't want my children to grow up to be someone's cattle to only produce wealth and profit for someone else.
Well, yeah, I don't think anybody wants that. I mean, we see how much it's progressed, you know, since, you know, our parents were, you know, born. And look at where the world has come to in that short amount of time. So imagine if we just keep feeding the monster what it's going to be another 40, 50 years, you know. It's not any place that I'm going to want to live, to tell you that, you know, and definitely wouldn't want any of my, you know, future generations of me to live in, you know. It doesn't sound like a good place.
They start on us young. I mean, they start on the kids in the school system. They start with the propaganda and the BS, you know? So it's like we're already, you know, got a full count. Already got two strikes against us in the count, and it's an uphill battle. But you know what? We got to keep trying to get the information out. Isn't it so enlightening when you finally do wake somebody up and they finally get it? Like, doesn't it feel like such an accomplishment?
Best feeling in the world, honestly. You know, when you break through to some war supporting neocon type, even if you connect on a couple issues, even if you get them to, you know, to just even learn about, like, you know, GMOs, or get them to, you know, to realize, you know, that the left right paradigm is phony, you know, even that's those are victories right there.
Absolutely. Man.
That's right. I had someone who was very religious speaking with me, and they were like, the reason why I have a hard time with the things that you say is I don't think they're that smart. And I said to them, I said, but you believe, like, because they were religious, I'm like, but you believe there's, like, end times and an antichrist and all this. And they're like, yeah. I said, well, then wouldn't all the things that I talk about need to be in place first? And I've seen a light bulb go off, and it's like, wow. You know, it's like, yeah, I guess here I am thinking that Dom's crazy, but yet I do have a belief that there's going to be like this antichrist figure who's going to create this world government and is going to do all this. And like, I don't think that the people in charge right now are smart enough to do it, but yeah, that's exactly what they're setting up.
Right. You know, and that's a major thing I see, like, they're trying to do now. They're trying to switch it in people's minds that the New World Order is not what we're thinking it is. Whether it's total disinfo like that, you know, to these Christians that watch these late night shows on TV or whatever, where they sit there and talk about it and tell you it's Muslims and hippies or whatever else, you know, and then you have the other example where, you know, these kids are being straight up led into Agenda 21, sustainable development, and all this stuff through school. You know, and it, like, you know, it doesn't matter now. That's like a religion. I look at that the same way as I look at, you know, religion, just because it's all dogmas that people refuse to look to wake up to. And one thing I just want to say to, you know, to all the Christians out there, and I consider myself partially Christian, but I you know, I'm not too big into a lot of things. Just look at this. You know, I think they're using the Bible as a total playbook, you know, and whether you believe it or not, or you believe that it's all fate, regardless of stuff is happening. So, you know, it is what it is. Take your, draw your line in the sand at some point.
Well, yeah, religion was used.
You know what I mean? You'll have all those people instantly buy in. Does one of you guys have your speakers on?
No.
Nope.
Sorry. Must be me. Yeah, something happened when I went out earlier with the dog. I went out of range, and since then I've had a little issue. But you guys all have no issue on your end, right? Everything sounds fine?
Yeah.
Yeah, audio's fine, yeah.
Okay.
But as I was going to say, is religion, you know, has been used as a tool to control the people before governments were in place. You know, if you really think about it, you know, he fell from the sky and had fire in his eyes, you know, God's going to, you know, bring down the wrath of punishment on you. That was my biggest thing growing up when they tried to teach me religion is like, well, if God's supposed to be full of love, why do I have to fear God so much? Like, right. Why does this have to be a relationship where I have to fear God? Like, shouldn't I want to be like closer to being like what God represents? You know, if you think about it, and the idea is there, just their agenda is in there, you know, and,
yep.
And it's completely in there. And it is a playbook. I do agree with that because it's a manifestation. If you get enough people to believe that the Armageddon is going to happen and the Antichrist is going to come and the trumpets of Gabriel are going to sound and we're all going to ascend to heaven, well, then that's what you're going to see, you know, because that's what you're creating and that's what you're making everybody believe. So that's the propaganda that you're going to create. You know, and once people start to realize that what you're being fed is just feeding you a bigger illusion to go back into it, that's all it is. It's control. They want to keep control. Well, how do you keep control? Well, you keep people in fear. Well, how do you keep people in fear? I mean, it's the same thing right. Over and over and over.
And
we gotta...
people will blindly defend the actions of Israel as it carries out a Holocaust
right.
Of Palestinian people. And it's just like, well, we have to because the Bible says.
It's the chosen,
yeah.
It's God's chosen country. Well, isn't
yeah,
the world God's chosen country because we're the only planet in our solar system with beings living on it, at least comprehensible beings in our solar system itself, at least for what we know, we're the only one like that. So at least in that area, we should at least feel that it's a little bit more special than Israel.
Well, and the whole thing too is it's based on a fallacy. The whole, you know, the whole thing where you know, those people, it's not like they were thrown out of that land. Those people are not even from there. 90% of them are actually
yeah, from
Georgia
state,
right?
Georgia by Russia.
Right. They're Khazars, and you know, and regardless of that, and I'm not one of those people that says they're not Jewish. They are Jewish in their beliefs. However. The thing is they follow Zionism, which, like I said, it's a political ideology. It has nothing to do with religion. What they've done now, they've turned Christians into Zionists as well and have them supporting Israel because they feel that unless the Jews are in the Holy Land, you know, Christ can't come back. And it's just one of the biggest things that I think, you know, people get, you know, believe in. Yes, that's they also believe that they're going to rebuild rebuild Solomon's Temple.
That's what it's really about. The Jews are supposed to occupy that land, so that's what it's all about.
Well, that's what they say that it's about. I think I might be wrong on this, and I'm sorry if I am, but from what I know is, like, the three main religions, which is Christianity, Judaism, and the Muslim faith, all of their main temples are all in Israel. If you
right.
think about it, why are three divided religions all headquartered in the same country that's chosen as God's country and we can't touch? Because those religions are headquartered there. That control for religion is headquartered from that location. Well, we don't want anybody to target that location because that's our main hub. Think about it that way with what we're saying. That just came to me.
Well,
It
may actually be a they may actually destroy it over there, to tell you the truth, as part of their agenda, so they can you know rebuild the whole thing. That may be the whole thing in part of World War III. If not, you know, it may be totally right.
Either way, I mean, at least they're having our concentration on it for one reason or another. There's
yeah.
a reason why we either feel that we have to protect it or blow it up. So, I mean, what's the reasoning behind that? And, sorry, that kind of came to me, guys. That was kind of good.
If you look,
thought about it that way.
The 1800s, before this version of Israel existed, the people who wanted this Israel to exist the most and fought for the creation of Israel was the Rothschild family.
Right.
Get a banking hold in that area to get... you know, access to all the resources. I mean,
right.
You look at what Rothschilds own from British Petroleum all down.
Oh, yeah.
It all benefits them. And so you know, you look at the big thing, it's like, well, what was Hitler? People will say, oh, Hitler was a quarter Jew. You know, he was a self-hating Jew, but a quarter Jewish. But what a lot of people don't get is that his grandmother was a Rothschild housemate.
Right.
Well, yeah, and he went to the same schools that some of the guys that have started the government controls that are happening here within the U.S. and have become part of the U.N., they all went
right.
to school together. It's like Hitler fell out of favor with the elite, or he got the idea and decided to take over, and that's where they got a problem.
Hitler was a puppet. Yeah,
just another patsy.
Go ahead, Dom.
What came out of Hitler's Nazi Germany? The creation of Israel. What did the Rothschild want?
Hmm.
What did they want?
And
they wanted
the creation of Israel.
And,
correct.
And if you look into it too, Hitler also dealt with the Zionist Congress there or whatever,
yeah.
which was the Rothschilds with the transfer agreement. He was
mm-hmm.
the first one to actually send Jews to Palestine. And the whole thing about it, if you look at it, Hitler actually, all of his main guys were OTO, which is Order Templo Orientis, which is actually Aleister Crowley's, secret society, and they I actually believe that Hitler was brainwashed by Crowley. I believe at some point that was the case, and that's why he did it. Crowley was also a British agent. Again, an agent for the Rothschilds. So he actually went in there and did the dirty work, brainwashed Hitler. Who knows if Hitler died or not, but it doesn't matter because the Fourth Reich is continued today in America and Israel and the Vatican under the name of, under these names, under the Rothschild dynasty, the Jesuits, and et cetera.
There's definitely the Fourth Reich is as powerful as ever. It's no different. A lot of times I've made the argument that I don't even believe that the Nazi Germany lost World War II looking at the America I live in today.
No.
No, you're right. You're right, because it is basically the dream coming to fruition if you think about it.
Yep. I mean, they do the same thing. It's a fascist police state. We invade whoever we want. We lie about it. It don't matter. We get away with everything. And
it's a dictatorship, really.
And the biggest ideology is right. And the biggest ideology is eugenics, right there.
Yeah, yep. Population reduction and control.
Yep.
And choosing who lives and who doesn't. You know, you have a America which goes and creates AIDS and creates, you know, like we said, swine flu and all these other things. And, AIDS was created to help get rid of minorities and gay people and everything else. And, you know, it was given out in the smallpox vaccines in Africa, given out in the hepatitis vaccines in New York City. And then it ended up spreading all across the country, and that's, you know, across the world, that's where we have it today. Of course, Africa is always going to be a big place to target for population control as they rape it for resources and cause civil wars everywhere. I want to talk real quick. What do you guys think about the possible fake alien invasion coming up? Do you guys buy into that? I personally am a big proponent. I think they're going to pull off.
You know what?
Project Bluebeam.
It's totally everything that you're going to see is going to be fake because, number one, we ain't anywhere ready to even comprehend what's out there. And anything that is even more intelligent than we are already knows that. And and everything that we're going to be seeing that they're going to give, it's all part of the illusion, basically.
Yeah,
I completely see that.
Yeah,
look at the timing of it, Jamie. Look at the timing with the 2012. I mean,
yeah, well, isn't it ironic? Have you guys heard these trumpet videos? The videos sound like War of the Worlds. So it's like what? That Hollywood was setting us up to get ready to fear the sound that we need to fear? Because it's the same exact sound.
17 UFO-based movies came out of Hollywood last year.
I mean, it's all prepping, and it's all preparing people because, you know, it's another way to keep control. We have to keep you safe from the aliens.
Yeah, predictive programming. They're going
to
have
the easiest way to shift into world government. Imagine the agreements and the so-called treaties and whatever they could sign. Oh, we need to join our military with these people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Exactly.
I mean, that's why the UN can take over and get their control too. I mean, I think how we're going to see the things unveil, I think it's basically going to be in stages. If it works, hey, they're regaining control. But if it's not working, it's going to flip up. I think we might see a few different things come from them that are going to, and I definitely think that apocalyptic edge and the UFO edge, because they've got a huge group of people between both of those groups right there.
Oh my
that
God. And this
huge
is the time
middle ground of people. I mean,
with everything that people are expecting, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's a perfect way. And those are my two ways that I'm like, you know, basically you just have to know you got to keep on going, you know, just don't feed into it. You can't. The moment you feed in, you're just signing your certificate. You might as well just turn the switch off and forget you're alive, because it's kind of the point of it all. You know, we're all trying to get free. So
I don't know if it was in front of the UN or not, but Ronald Reagan did a speech where he pretty much said, you know, how quickly we'd all put our differences aside if we were faced with some kind of outside I don't think he said extraterrestrial, but an outside threat, meaning at that time, like some kind of non-worldly threat, whether he meant aliens or a comet or whatever, you know. Mm. I don't really think they're going to play that card, though. I honestly think they're looking for like a full-out nuclear war. I really think that's what they want. I think if you look across the country or across the planet, you'll see that all the nuclear power plants and all the nuclear weapons and that are all pretty much in the Northern Hemisphere.
Right.
I don't think there's any in the Southern Hemisphere. And, like, the radiation, like, we look at what happens with Fukushima, and that radiation, what they'd say it goes the whole way across the globe, which it did, but it didn't go down to the Southern Hemisphere. It went the whole way around the Northern Hemisphere, because it's not the air currents don't mix that way. So, I mean, I could see a situation where most of the Northern Hemisphere is pretty much wiped out and depopulated. And if you look, a lot of these, like the Bushes and that, have been buying up all kinds of property all through South America and these countries that most people have never even heard of or know exist.
Right.
Mm.
It's like they know something because they're all buying up in South America. They all want to be in the Southern Hemisphere.
It also might have to do with the elevation down there if they're worried about them causing major tsunamis, and that may be another thing too. And that relates to the same thing as, you know, Japan, if they did, you know, somehow cause harp or let off a nuke under whatever they did, or even, you know, no matter what, you know, regardless. The thing is, now they don't have to go and lock us up in FEMA camps, because we're already. We're in prison. We're in a prison of filled with radiation, poisoned food, poisoned water.
You just don't see the shackles.
But still 95%, 99% of the people are, and that's what matters. You know, they don't mind if one or two people go off on their, you know, their own. But that's the thing. That's how they control the masses. So I mean, you know, World War III is definitely a huge possibility. And then after World War III, with a big nuclear war. Then you have the aliens coming as bringing peace, you know, and I don't know, that's almost how I see it, you know, coming to fruition. I don't know, I mean, you know, it's going to be a few years. It's not going to be all in 1 year, but 2012 is going to be a bumpy ride.
Well, yeah, it's not like going to be the end of the world or anything, you know.
Right.
That's the one thing that everybody, oh, it's the end of the world because it's the end of the Mayan calendar. It's actually the beginning. Hey, we're entering a new age. That's all that's happening, is that calendar represented that age that we just came out of. We are now dawning on a new age, you know. And
talk about freaking out over nothing.
If you think about it, it is a bunch of propaganda over nothing, but it's also being used because they knew they could use that to get accomplished the things that they want to, because we have been bred to fear 2012, just like we were bred to fear the year 2000. But see, all of those things were set up for us to think, oh, that's not going to happen, because then they'll get you with something happening. And it's kind of like the thing, like when I first started becoming a little bit more aware, and I started talking about like earthquakes and stuff and like natural disasters happening to one of my friends, and and I was gone from the city for a few days, and they felt that earthquake that happened in, you know, Virginia. They felt it in Philly. And a bunch of my friends were posting on my wall, and they're like, you know, oh my God, girl, you're freaking me out because you're talking about, you know, what's going to be going on, you know, and potentially happening in the world, and then earthquakes that happen, you know. And I laughed, and I said, well, you know, that's you feeding into what I'm telling you, too. You know, if you turn around and think about it, you know, and if you, if on a conscious level, because personally, I'm at the point where I don't think that we are going to have to experience those things with the level of consciousness that is changing within the world, because it is happening. And there are many people all over the world that are talking about the same things that I have known inside me since I was young, and finding more and more of these people. And it's proven to me that this shift in consciousness is going to happen. And that's why I'm big on saying let's not feed our fear with this propaganda anymore, because if we just allow ourselves to let the changes happen around us and don't feed into everything and just create our lives the way we want them to be, we're already going to be stepping into our new evolution the way we want to. But because we've been so programmed to believe the things that we have, it's going to be a struggle, because it is a power. It's control of the planet. If you think about it, for this last age, it's been a dark age, the dark ages. We've all talked about the dark ages. Well, what if this is the age to come into the light, and we actually have a world that's filled with more positivity? Now, I can't say that it's 100% going to be that. It's just a little bit more of what I'm seeing with learning what's happening as a whole within our universe and how it's affecting us as beings, because we're all made of the same thing, essentially, because it all affects.
What do you mean exactly by change our consciousness?
Meaning, it's kind of like, you know how you use the reference of being awake in the political arena?
Yes.
It's an awakening in a consciousness of just the way we think.
Okay.
So, and the way we act and the way we feel. When I first started to become awake, I felt that I had to fight with politics. I actually debated that I was going to run as a renegade candidate, that I was going to run as an American citizen that wasn't going to pay the money, do any of the stuff they wanted to do, and I was going to get people to stand behind me because I was going to get a group of people together to fix the problems and say, you know what, we know our country's messed up, but the way they're doing it is wrong, because I felt so passionate because I saw what was wrong. But as I started to dig further and I started to take that political look and I started to look more inside myself and figure out, because you do feel things inside you spiritually. I mean, we all would love to say that we're Christians or whatever, that that's something good, because inside we morally feel like that we have to be good people. And it's the stuff inside you that tells you 9/11 was wrong. There was something wrong with that picture. Well, that same feeling can happen about anything else in your life. I mean, how many times do you have a feeling something bad's going to happen to you? 5 minutes later it does, and you're like, oh my God, I totally knew that was going to happen. You know, and you take that and you have to expand on that. When I fed my life filled with negative thoughts and negative feelings and negative impacts of everything that was happening in my world, my world was crashing around me. I chose to take positivity and looking at light, the world through my own eyes, and look at myself to be the solution. I realized that I have to create the world inside me on the outside. And by doing that, I'm raising my consciousness and the others around me. Their consciousness is being raised as well, because they can see the changes is happening through me. There are kids, I gave birth to 3 kids at a very young age, and I gave them up to adopt for adoption to my stepmom, and I've been estranged from them. All 3 of my biological children all have the same thing, and they're considered what they call an indigo, but I don't like to put labels on things. And these are kids that are going from pure love. These are the kids that are going to be a voting age in 2016 that can actually start getting these ideas gone. And these are the kids that are going to be like, don't vote. Don't comply. You know, and this is, it's all new. It's a new age, and that's why the calendar ended, because that age that we were once in is now over, and now we're beginning a new one. So there's nothing to fear if we create better worlds for ourselves.
No, I don't think there's anything to fear. I think, honestly, I think that the world is much, you know, a much better place than they portray it. They want you to fear it, because the fear is one of the ultimate tools of control. But you know what? On that note, we're going to just take a quick break, guys, and we'll be right back in 3 minutes. You're listening to Real News Radio. Apologize about that. We're having an issue with every song we're trying to play. Go to the break. We're taking a 3 minute break, guys. We'll be right back.
Yo.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for sticking with us. You're listening to Real News Radio with Brian Stavely and Justin Cook. We had a bunch of callers tonight. We've joined with a couple of really great ones right now. And we're pretty much going to wrap up the show in about 20 minutes, guys. I still had a few things I wanted to touch on. I wanted to touch a little bit on organic food. Dom, Justin, Jamie, you guys all here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yep, I'm here.
Jamie?
I mean, she got bumped off like I did.
Oh yeah, she might have bounced out. Let's see. I wanted to. What did I want to mention? Anything else you guys wanted to say on what we were just talking about before we went in a different direction?
No, I'm good.
All right. I wanted to touch a little bit on, you know, a little bit on how people still, you know, with organic food, you know, back when I first started learning about GMOs and organic food, you know, I did a little research on it. I did a little paper on it. I handed out some flyers to a bunch of people. And I started going to, you know, started going to the Whole Foods store and, you know, buying all organic everything. And lately, I've kind of fallen out of the habit just because I just haven't had that much money lately. And, you know, it's a lot more expensive to do it sometimes. But, you know, lately you've seen a lot of things turn up, like, you know, a lot of organic things are being tainted with, you know, either with GMOs or with, you know, arsenic or, you know, other dangerous things going on. And I think people still really need to educate themselves about the food that they buy. And, you know, not just – the organic label is basically – it's not something you can trust anymore. It's kind of like taking the FDA stamp of approval at its word, you know what I mean? And you really need to look into especially like when you're dealing with things like baby formula and, you know, that's been in the news a little bit lately. You know, you just look, you read the ingredients. You know, you don't have to do it every time you go. Just, you know, one time on all the stuff that you know you're going to get, you know, just go through everything once. What's up with you guys? Have you guys ever tried to go organic? Do you guys eat organic? Do you guys not really go that route because it's too much of a hassle? What are your feelings on that?
There's certain things that I do go organic on, and there's a lot of things that I don't bother with because of the price. For example, like during the summer, I do grow my own organic tomatoes, basil, and a few other things. And I do buy organic garlic because I take garlic almost medicinal.
Justin, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, I lost you for a second.
I was gonna say, yeah. So anyway, I was gonna say I do buy make sure I get organic garlic, and a couple other things. But for the most part, no, I can't afford to eat all organic food, and it's one of those things. The main thing I do, and I obviously still have a lot to work to go in that. Obviously, you guys see my picture up there. But you know, the main thing is I stopped eating fast food. And there's a lot of things like that that I just totally eliminated because, more or less, not because of getting any fatter. I just don't want to die, for example, like soda too. I avoid high fructose corn syrup. I never was big on aspartame, you know. So I just try to limit, you know, certain things out of my thing. I don't use the microwave anymore, you know. That's the main thing, I guess, but. But you know, I don't go all out. I do try to do it a little bit, but no, nowhere near what I should be doing.
Yeah, the microwave is terrible for you. Tom, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the same boat where if I could financially do it, and it might be by design that most of us can't financially afford to do
it. Oh, it is. McDonald's is cheap for a reason. Enough.
Absolutely. And you know, I try to when I can, when I can't. Got to do what you got to do to survive. I cut out the all the fast food. I'm done with that because, you know, 15 years ago, I had no idea what half the stuff was that I was eating. I just figured, hey, you know, McDonald's will cook it for me or Burger King will make it for me. I don't have to spend 20 minutes in the kitchen or a half hour cooking my own meal. Sometimes it was quicker. It was easier. But the more alert I became to things, you know, the more I cut that out. I cut out a lot of the salt from my diet, and I used to be a big pop drinker. I tried to cut back on that. I was never into, you know, one thing we mentioned earlier, someone said, was something like, you just kind of know some things are wrong. As a kid, when my mother used to drink Diet Pepsi, and I'll never forget when, like, I'd taste that and was like, oh my God, how can anybody drink this?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was the aspartame. Something inside of me when that aspartame hit my system was like, oh, this is not right. This is bad. So,
I agree.
I've always avoided that.
Aspartame's always done the same thing to me too. I've always, for one, it has the aftertaste. For two, I remember my mother telling me that she would drink it and her leg would be shaking after. And that's your neurological system, you know. And that's the main thing from vaccines and all this stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. The thing that gets me is they tried to set a law, I think it was, a few years back to, you know, if you carried some kind of GMO product that you had to label that this food was genetically modified, and they got that turned down. And other companies went, well, we can advertise that we don't contain any GMO products. And they stopped those other companies from being able to label what they're selling as being GMO free. I think they said something along the lines of it created an unfair market advantage or something.
Right. You know, was another thing too with that was also the fact that they went and bought out a section of like Whole Foods too, and made sure that they wouldn't go after them on certain things. So now I think it was the soy or something else. But regardless, it's totally all taken over by the FDA now. It's totally all Monsanto and the FDA. It's totally crooked.
Yeah, what is it? The CEO, I believe, of Monsanto is now the Obama's food czar.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that just goes to show for, you know, and that's supposedly a big deal with the liberals, and to see that their head is in the sand, that Obama went and, you know, let's say he's really in control. He went and let the Monsanto guy be his food czar. You know, if not closing Guantanamo didn't get you, you know, and then signing the NDAA, and if, you know, not, you know, not stopping the wars, you know, and if that didn't get, I don't know, just the fact that there's still apologists out here for Obama is just, it's way worse than the most brain dead Paul Tard out there.
You know, it's a revolving door between the FDA and Monsanto. There's tons of them. Tons of them that, you know, go back and forth, like, you know, between the two places. You have, you know, the Judge Clarence Thomas from the Supreme Court, who's been basically in Monsanto's back pocket all along. He used to be an attorney for them, and now he's the one that actually let it be possible in Supreme Court. He won had them win the case where they could actually patent food. Okay, and they really are dominating the whole global food supply. I mean, it's a dangerous thing, and I don't think people have a clue about what the hell is going on with it. 90% of our food now, you're talking about the major crops, the basic building blocks of all our food, the corn, the wheat, the soy, the canola, and missing one, it'll come to me in a minute. But, you know, over 90% of all those crops in this country are now genetically modified. And the stuff's proven not to be safe. It causes reproductive problems. And, you know, I think it's more than just a conspiracy theory. I think they really do have a population control agenda out there. And they are pushing it through with the food, with a slow kill. Maybe not such a slow kill, but more of a not letting you reproduce. Justin, I mean, what do you think? Yeah, right?
Sterilization is a big part of their agenda.
Yeah. That's the word I was looking for.
Pushing vaccines. Yeah, sterilization. They're, you know, you see Gates, like I always tell people, believe me, Bill Gates doesn't give a shit about little black babies in Africa. Does not care about them for real. He might act like he does, but all he cares about is finding a way to stop them from making more black babies. That's what his agenda is. sterilization, population control. And if you look across the globe, it seems like every place else that Monsanto is and every single other country, they get chased out of. I mean, Monsanto's what? They've been working with the Pentagon forever. They brought the world Agent Orange. That's what they really do. They look for ways to attack the population. That's always been Monsanto's goal.
Yes. Look what they did in Vietnam.
Yeah, Agent Orange.
Now in Monsanto, that was them.
And Agent Orange didn't affect just Vietnamese. Look how many, you know, that's a lot of the things that they don't like to admit. I mean, how many Americans did they send over there and get sprayed with Agent Orange and come back with it? And I knew my dad had gone, well, he didn't go to war, but this guy he knew was a Vietnam vet. And he set me up one time on a date with this guy's daughter. And he told me, you know, because I guess she had tickets to a concert and someone stood her up in that. But, like, somehow he had passed that on to her. And she had, like, this birthmark kind of thing from the Agent Orange that her dad got exposed to all over her neck and the side of her face. It was unreal. You know, I felt bad for the girl. It was like, but that's how it got passed, from her dad being there and being sprayed with Monsanto's poison. So to find out that Monsanto's still poisoning us shouldn't be a surprise. They've been doing it for 50, 60 years.
Yeah, they're death dealers. That's what they are. And that's the same thing with their Roundup. And, you know, they got people spraying it all over their lawns and their kids are playing in it. And this isn't like, you know, your parents telling you not to cross your eyes because they're going to get stuck that way. All right? This is real stuff, people. This is stuff that causes birth defects. Okay, if you look, you could go online and look at some of the pictures of some of the people, the way they're still, generations later, being born in Vietnam with all types of birth defects. You know, they've tested the food a lot. Okay, on all the animals they've tested on, in every single test that they've tested GMO food on, it's come back with all sorts of serious health issues, and every time it's been reproductive issues. They did a test on gerbils, potatoes, okay? They fed one group just regular potatoes and the other group just GMO potatoes. After the fifth generation, okay, the regular potato group of gerbils was fine, healthy. The other ones, they could not reproduce anymore. They were done. Their family line is done. And their tissues were damned, all ripped up, organ damage, everything, dude. I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
It's fine. One of the studies they did also showed that it attacks the kidneys and it shuts down the kidneys. I saw that from the studies of the GMO foods. We go after the kidneys. So you got the reproductive organs and you got the kidneys that are being attacked mainly by this, both of which, once they shut down, either your family tree's done or you're done.
Right. The fact, too, that everybody's sperm counts is getting so much lower, I think has a big thing to do with the Terminator seed in general. You know, think about it. If it's stopping seeds from growing in the plant, it's also stopping seeds from growing in you, you know, and that's another thing, too. And I think another thing that we get into is the bisphenol A and the other stuff that are actually gender-bending chemicals, and a lot of those, too, are you know, like the growth hormone milk, you know, it's the same thing. It's also helping these, you know, young girls that hit puberty at 9 years old, you know, like we were saying earlier. And it's just, you know,
feminizing the males and making them very passive.
Right. And also, too, because there's so much, you know, there's so much, not testosterone. What's the other stuff that women have?
Estrogen for the women?
Estrogen. Yes. Yeah, women are getting too much estrogen, so they're getting breast cancer and ovarian cancer, you know, and that's another main thing. You know, and I think the biggest thing is with population control now is to make sure our generation doesn't make it to collect Social Security because it's not there, you know. So I think I don't see it being, you know, like Alex Jones gets all emotional. Says 90,000 people, you know, 90% of the world, you know, that may be their goal, but that may be another 100 years from now, 200 years. The main thing is, you know, I think you're going to see a big die-off from the nuclear things and stuff like that. But cancer is just the way, you know, they don't care. They've waited like 2,000 years. What's 50 more years to them? nothing, you know. So, I mean, I think
they plant the
cloud
50, 100 years at a time.
Right.
These big social movements where they're manipulating the masses, I mean, you have to. I mean, look at something like 9/11. Like, now we know it was a plan that goes back, you know, close to 40 years.
Right. And as far as the Ron Paul thing goes, I bet it might go farther than I think, but
yeah,
the biggest,
off, you know,
but well, think about this. The most that I can prove that at least the PSYOP was going on was when Edward Griffin wrote Creature of Jekyll Island, which is, I believe, 92. So, you know, at least they've been putting that, you know, for that long, since they went off the gold standard in 72.
How long's he been the chairman of the Fed?
Who's the chairman of the Fed?
Isn't he a chairman of the Fed? Isn't not a chairman? Isn't he on a board that oversees the Fed? Not the chairman.
Yeah.
I know Bernanke's the chairman.
Yeah, since January 1st of 2011, and that's the last time anybody in the so-called alternative media talked about the Federal Reserve, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what
happened. His
that was the thing.
Yeah, what exactly is his position there?
He's a chairman on a board that is overseeing the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
What's it doing?
That's what I thought.
Yeah, who knows? Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of other things, too, that a lot of people don't understand is the Federal Reserve is audited like twice a year. Once a year, it's called the CAFR. But the main thing is that the politicians are not holding it, you know, accountable. So the main thing here is, you know, until a politician actually says, you know, Rothschilds or Vatican or, you know, whatever, one of the real money masters, it's not going to matter. You know, you can have a million
exactly.
Ben Bernanke, you can have a million Ben Bernankes and Alan Greenspans, but they're no different than Obama. They're just the head of the company right now. The face.
Here's the other thing about the end of the Fed, Justin, too, is, you know, and again, as with all the other issues, you can't just eliminate all these things, you know, like the DEA, the FDA. You got to make them work. And if you eliminate the Fed, that might be the last thing standing in the way.
Going into this global thing. You don't need to end the Fed. You need to nationalize the Fed and give it back to the, you know, put it back under, you know, you can't have a privately owned bank as your central bank. That's the problem.
Yeah, be interest free too. Interest free.
Some of the ideas that you would do to do that? Because I'll admit I don't know crap about economics. I'm just starting to read up on this stuff in the last few months because of these reasons. But explain it to me. What do you mean by nationalize it?
Well, nationalizing it would mean to actually, you know, put it back under the government and under Congress so that they would more have to vote on things and whatnot. I did want to bring up one thing that Dom might actually know a little bit more about it, but
cool.
The thing I was gonna say is that there's actually an act put in by Dennis Kucinich that actually would have straightened a lot of this stuff out, and yet, you know, it wasn't supported. And also too, I want to say that you know, Ron Paul also voted against Glass-Steagall, which was another thing in place to stop all the, you know, the banks from doing both. You know, engaging in speculative banking and, you know, the loan banking and everything else. And like Dom said, the main thing here, as long as there's usury in it, it doesn't matter. And, you know, with a gold currency, you can deflate and inflate too. It can be totally manipulated. And that's why the thing that the gold bugs are not getting. But yeah, go ahead, Dom, with your point.
Kucinich, that one I don't know much about. Years ago, I mean, you know, we talked about how we always want to learn and we expand and we're always growing. And years ago, I was actually a Ron Paul supporter. And during that time, I paid attention to Dennis Kucinich. To me, it was like, wow, all the Republicans suck except one, and all the Democrats suck except one. But they all suck. But then
I agree. He's a false guy. He folded on the healthcare thing. But he did put this decent act forward and you know, and none of these other, you know, they're all good for their part. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. It's like, as soon as Kucinich got his little flight on Air Force One,
right,
that's when I went, oh yeah, he's a big Obama guy now. It's like, yeah, how phony. So nationalizing it, like Justin said, I think that works because you have control of the money. There's no you know, interest on it. That's the thing. A lot of people don't know that the Federal Reserve will print a $100 bill. It'll cost them like 2 cents or half a cent off the printing press. They'll charge us $100 plus percentage interest. And so for what costs them 2 cents as private, you know, these families, what costs them 2 cents to make, we owe them $108 for each one of them.
Right.
If it's a $50 bill, you do the interest like that. But and it's, we have to completely stop that. And until that happens, whether, you know, if we go to a gold standard, they control the price. So until we get to a point where Congress can issue money, debt-free money,
right,
that there's no interest on, then we're going to have a system where people are going to be able to screw with us. And, you know, inflation, you're going to have all the inflation and deflation, whatever, or mostly inflation, because that benefits them. That's more for them and less for us. And they pay people, like we talked earlier, not to grow food, just so the prices stay high. That's what they want.
With gold, too, like, we know it can be manipulated easy. It doesn't that make it even harder for the regular person to get into something that's so expensive?
Every day, an average of five.
That's something you need to get.
No, see, it definitely does. Although a lot of the people now that are that are regular people do have some, but you know, once the whole thing is, all they have to do is flood a whole bunch in the market. Now the thing is there's no clear cut number of how much gold there is in the world, and obviously they're gonna lie about it, and they're going to
have to flood it. They can just say it's flooded.
Once everybody
buys into it, and then everybody's screwed.
And then it's going to be like deflation, and then it's going to be, you know, to make your gold that you have that you went and bought worth shit too, you know. And that's the thing. It right now, it's a great investment, but it, you know, the bottom could come out of it like anything.
They'll buy it all up once they do that.
And then the question is, where is all the gold? I mean, I'm sure you guys have heard. It was common, like, for me to hear that it was almost like a joke when I was young that Fort Knox is empty.
Yep.
Everyone knows. It's one of those things you hear. Everyone knows Fort Knox is empty. Yep. The rumors are out there that it is. And you look at events like 9/11 that we talked about all night, and what was happening at the World Trade Center, one of the biggest gold heists in all of mankind's history was going on while that whole event was taken down. They were loading up trucks full of gold down in the sub-levels and trying to get them out of the building. One truck actually got trapped in there. I don't know if you guys saw that. There was a truck full of gold. It was all loaded. It's like, those guys had to know. That didn't just like, oh, no, you know, the plane hit. Now we're calling people. That's going to take people half hour, 40 minutes to get there with traffic's crazy. No, those people had to be in place and ready to start loading that gold. But that was another gold heist. And it's like, where is all the gold? People who even say they buy gold don't have gold. They just have something saying that they have gold. Unless you have the physical gold, and then what are you going to do? What are you going to do with it, even if you have it? And, you know, the economy crashes.
Well,
when are you going to take
I would never buy, like, the certificate and let somebody else hold my gold.
No.
That'd be pointless. I would actually buy the physical gold. I was stupid enough to buy into some silver, and I bought 50 ounces of silver last year.
That ain't stupid, Brian. It's not stupid to get a commodity like that. It's just stupid to sink all of your money into it. You know, that's the only difference. I mean, but, you know, and especially, hey, you may make out with that if we're going towards this thing. But that's the main thing that people have to understand, that these people are doing it so they can themselves make out, you know, and they're making out for their masters as well.
It's a big thievery, dude. They trick you into buying into it because they drop the price. You buy into it, and then they tell you it's flooded. Then they drop the price on you, and then you have to get rid of it, and then they buy it all up, and then they own it all. I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking too much, but...
I mean, I don't understand. See, the thing that kind of gets me is who determined that it was gold? Long run, like, what made gold, like, the most valuable commodity?
Because it can be used as, like, a good conductor and it's really strong. I think that has something to do with it.
Yeah, yes. The only thing about gold, it does have intrinsic value. You know, it like you said, it can be used as a conductor. It's always been. But, you know, besides that, it's really just a shiny metal. But it is a strong metal, and it is good for conduction.
It's the best conductor.
It's
all the best
like
connections have gold on the end.
Right,
so.
computer parts and shit. You know, it is.
Okay.
But the whole thing is, you know, we don't need an economy based on gold. That's the main thing.
No.
You know, there was a system called social credit, which is, you know, I don't understand the ins and outs of it, but that's what Eustace Mullins proposed. In I think it was pretty close to what happened with, like, you know, the greenback thing, before, you know, the Act of 1871 and before, you know, they actually, brought back, you know, the Federal Reserve and everything. So, I mean, you know, it was similar to, you know, pre, Civil War times, you know, and that's what we, you know, that's what we need to get back to. It doesn't matter. You don't need a metal holding it up. That's just gonna, you know, I don't know, you know, it's. The thing about it, it's very hard to understand, and that's why there's so many of these, you know, people out there that are just regurgitating the first things they hear and not looking into it like we are, you know. And we may not all be economic experts, but we see where it's wrong. We know damn well that if Fort Knox is empty, the World Trade Center was empty to gold, you know, then 1 + 1 = 2, and we're getting taken for a ride here, folks. Simple as that.
See, the thing is, even when we don't know, like, we ask questions. Like I told you, I don't know crap about economics. Tell me what nationalizing it means. Other people won't ask questions. Right. They don't want. Right. They feel embarrassed to say they were wrong. I'll get out on the radio and tell you I don't know about it. Tell me.
Yeah, just recently, you know, just for all this stuff, I started studying up on you know, Henry George and watching The Money Masters again with Bill Still, mm-hmm. you know, and seeing all these things, and in that, Bill Still explicitly. Talks against, you know, money based on gold too. There again, and there's a guy, like I said, he's running for president. Yeah, you'll never hear them talk about it because he's got a real solution, you know, and that's what they don't want, you know. So, we're gonna get our Ron Paul or our Romney Paul or whatever they have planned for us, and it doesn't matter what these people go out and vote for, and they can campaign till the cows come home. But, you know, it is what it is. It's already been decided, probably, you know, whether or not 20 years ago they decided it in the last 2 years. You know, it doesn't matter what these people do from now on.
Yeah.
The media is going to go off a playbook, and we're just going to sit back and watch the ride.
I think once in a while they might have an option A and an option B, depending on how the masses react. But besides that, it's totally, totally 100 already scripted.
Yep.
Guys, you know what? I mean, we've been going for 4 hours. We're going to go like 5 more minutes and wrap it up. So if there's – you know what, Dom, I want to do – you know, we went this whole show, and I don't even know myself where we can find your broadcast. Why don't you tell everybody, like, your address to find your shows and whatever?
Oh, absolutely. And listen, guys, I've had an absolute great time tonight. I just want to thank you guys for inviting me on. I love that, and I look forward. Maybe we can do it again sometime in the near future. Anybody that's interested, I do a little thing I started called the American Insurgency. Right now it's over on Blog Talk. I jumped to a few different networks, but it's like at the end of the day, I'm really inconsistent. I'll do one or two shows a week, but I don't know what night. But you go there and you check out the archives because they only give me 30 minutes of time, and I do 45. I run it over, and they let you record 45. So the archives are better anyways. Or you can find me, just look me up on Facebook, and I always post everything there. So that's kind of like...
Where on Blog Talk specifically? Facebook. How do we search you on Blog Talk?
The American Insurgency. That's what you search, and you'll be able to pull me
up. The American Insurgency. All right. That's cool. Didn't you have a Live Leak or something like that, or is that the same show, just on another network?
Yeah, I just uploaded on Live Leak. I get way more hits over there, so... I take the show.
Yeah, maybe we can talk
and...
about that after, because I need some ideas about where else I can put these shows, where I can get some hits. I don't want to pay for Blog Talk, though. I think that's a ripoff. I don't want to pay for anything.
I don't
really.
Either. Yeah, I don't either. I use the free. Like I said, I only get 45 minutes, but then I might do 1-2 nights a week or something, and, you know what I mean, take advantage of the free 45 and then upload it on different, you know, YouTube or Live Leak or wherever, and just take it out and spread it on video things. Just make a couple little pictures for it. That's what I do. Just got my website up there and that and the name of the show. And
all right. You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to post a link up on our website for you, and I'll post it in the comment wall in a second. And, you know, we had a great time. I'm glad you came on. I knew it would be a good show. I mean, we can tell by the conversations we have, and we see what you, you know, the type of things you talk about. And, you know, like I said, people like us that are in that small percentage of the truth movement, I think we all really do need to connect and share ideas and bounce things back and forth. Because, you know, let's face it, sometimes talking to some other people, it's like talking to a brick wall, man. I'd be better off talking to my dog sometimes.
you know what? Because the answers are so predictable, and it's like, I saw on Dom's blog the other day, you know, once he reported about the PNAC document, and people just, they don't even understand what he's talking about, that there's another PNAC document.
I mean,
they don't
like the only ones that even went over there.
Right. And I wanted to come, I didn't want to sign up for it, but I wanted to strangle these people and say, you know, look, you know, this is another project for a new American century, the same one, you know, that Jones probably did 75 shows on, you know, and yet he didn't even mention, you know, this document written by Lewis Lehrman, you know, and I just, it just really incenses me.
It's just like the Bohemian Grove situation where he doesn't mention the statue of the one group he protects, but he does of the other group, you know?
Yeah, that's the Catholic one.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a statue and a shrine there that he totally ignores. Go ahead, Dom.
Yeah.
I was going to say, there's some guy, I forget his name, who snuck into Bohemian Grove like Alex Jones did and was reaching out for Alex Jones for help because he took a bunch of video. And last I knew, he was sitting in jail, and Alex Jones was completely ignoring. I think his name was Chris Jones or something like that. He tried. A lot of people, this is what I say. I say, if you think Alex Jones, even in the year 2000, could just sneak into Bohemian Grove.
I said the same thing.
I got a bridge in Brooklyn that's for sale. Yep. You want to buy it? It's for sale.
He's not even a guy that's in shape that could be like hopping fences and diving through bushes and stuff.
Well, you know what's hilarious about it is if you go back and watch it, he tells you about five different times we just had this run-in with these security guards, but the camera was out of battery. How many times is the camera out of battery? You know, you mean to tell me that you guys didn't come with you know, a million cameras stocked with all the batteries? That's just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. You know, and he tried, and then he says, "Oh, you know, we had the bushes, but you didn't show them on tape." You know, I'm not saying the bushes aren't there, but it just shows.
There,
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I'm just saying he's exaggerating his claims, and that's you know, and it's just like Y2K. It's like
a lot of lies upon lies. Right. And you don't see it at first. At first, you ignore it because you think it's like the mainstream hit on him because he's telling the truth. And then you start to watch all the stuff out there on him, and you're like, whoa, wait a minute. You know what I mean? At least that's how I was. I mean, we've done whole shows on this, and Dom, when we do a show on that, I mean, we definitely got to have you on. We've done a lot of shows that get into the controlled opposition. I mean, you can't avoid it. You have to talk about it. It's so important because the people are being misled so much.
I got a story of Alex Jones from when I got involved with Loose Change, and I mean, I know why Dylan Avery hates Alex Jones and all that, and one night you guys want to talk about Alex Jones, believe me, I'm all about it. He's such a phony.
Maybe tomorrow we can have a call privately or something.
Yeah, I can't.
Well, you mean on the radio? You mean something for everybody?
Oh, listen, yeah, absolutely. Like,
oh, all right, good.
Yeah. I mean, Dylan hates him. I don't think Dylan will deny that to anybody. You remember Loose Change Second Edition was huge. Alex Jones was the producer of Loose Change Final Cut, and the whole movement when that movie came out just went, what the fuck is this? Disappointed. Disappointed. Buried that whole movement. Crushed it. Death blow.
Well, that was on purpose.
And then he tried to sue Dylan Avery afterwards.
Yeah, and he sold them all a bunch of bullshit. Charlie Sheen's going to narrate. This guy's going to finance it. We're going to have it in theaters everywhere. You guys are.
Yeah, it was all. He didn't do any of it.
Nothing. But he set them all up and made them all look like fools and made it all a joke. And then at the end, we got this fake story with a smoking plane falling out of the sky in Shanksville and a plane hitting the Pentagon. And it was all, like, nobody bought that shit. I was so mad because when I saw my name under the credits for the Shanksville part, and the whole Shanksville part was an animated scene of a smoking 757 falling out of the sky. And I was like, Nobody fucking saw that. And that dude said he wasn't going to, Susan McAleen wasn't allowed in the movie because she sounded crazy. She saw a UFO. No one's going to believe her. And look, she's being interviewed by some Nazi skinhead.
Wow.
That's what he walked away with the Susan McAleen video. When I drove home from Shanksville that day and I called Dylan Avery up and I told Dylan what I had and he was like, what? And I'm like, dude, listen, Susan McAleen saw like a missile or a drone plane. I don't know what it was. And he watched that video. He said, wow, dude, that's one of the biggest testimonies I've ever seen about 9/11. And then Alex Jones is like, she's crazy. No one will believe her. What'd you see? A UFO? Ha,
oh, yeah?
And look at that Nazi. Yeah, look at that Nazi skinhead interviewing her. Who's going to believe that? He's got to be a Nazi.
Oh, yeah, that's what they say, too. The mainstream media attacks your character and calls you names, just like they like Burmese did about the September clues, talking about, oh, that dude's a meth head. He was wearing a Puff the Magic Dragon suit. That's not 9/11 truth, yada, yada, yada. I've seen more 9/11 stuff than anybody, and that TV fakery is not – shut the hell up, you shill. I hate him, dude. Them two.
Yeah, Burmese sold red out with that shit, too.
Yep.
Like, I'll say good – a lot of people talk shit on Dylan. I'll say good shit about Dylan because I don't think Dylan was an operative or a shill or anything like that. I think he was
Burmese
a young dude who made a movie that was – or a documentary is way bigger than he ever thought it was going to be. And he got caught up in some bullshit, and now he's not really involved in it. But, like, Burmese, that dude jumped on Alex Jones' coattails and was like, wow, this is –
oh, he's dying to shill it up.
Yep.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
It's money.
The other one I really can't stand is Dice. Mark Dice thinks who the fuck
he is.
Oh,
my God. I can't. Oh.
Yeah, that dude.
He is awful.
Listen, that dude, I had him one time. He was posting on the Loose Change forums back in the day, and I was like, let me ask you something, Mark. I said, if you were protesting for 9/11 truth and you were walking down the street, I said, would you stay in that protest line if you were standing by, you know, some 9/11 truthers that were gay? That dude is such a hardcore, like, definition of a Christian Zionist.
Right.
He's so pro-Israeli. Oh, dude, he was, like, making
he's
a fool
so
out
obvious
of himself.
That he's so controlled.
Oh, yeah.
And brutal,
and he's Jones's little attack dog, you know. Attack
oh yeah,
dog.
He
went after Cooper, and then he went after Fetzer. When you know, regardless of the right or wrong, and I'll tell you what, Cooper was not wrong. Cooper did not go in there drunk or disrespect anybody or swear.
Nope.
You know, and the thing is, in my whole opinion, they killed Bill Cooper. Because he would have exposed.
Jones could take over the movement.
Yeah. Yep. He would have exposed 9/11 from day one. He would have exposed everything out of it, and he would have exposed Jones. And that's what he. You know, if you listen to his thing from that day, he's already saying, you know, don't listen to anything from coming over from Alex Jones and those guys. And he's saying, you know, I only want documented things.
He was saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. He's very.
He's telling you how dangerous he was right from the start.
On the day it happened, you know, and that's why they took him out. Had nothing, you know. The other things, they didn't care. They just knew he was the only other one at that time with that much respect. So they had to take him out because he exposed.
Yeah, because if there was a real movement, there could have been a real leader, and that could have been him.
Right.
And
right,
all they had to do was give Jones. And listen, the guys. That's why they gave Jones the so-called 9/11 prediction, even though Cooper already said it. But they gave, you know, they had him come out and say that to give him credibility when it happened.
Right.
But guys, real quick, I just want to throw out our link to our website just in case, you know, say Dom posts it somewhere or, you know, somewhere everybody else hears it somewhere else. You know, you're listening to Real News Radio and you can find us at therealnewsonline.com. That's therealnewsonline.com. When you go there, just go to the page that says Real News Radio. You can get the live stream there. Obviously, we're not going to be broadcasting 24/7, so there's archives, and they are on that page. All you got to do is scroll to the bottom, and you can get all our shows right there. You can call into the show right there, and there's a live comment wall that we respond to as we can during the show. And be sure to check out the rest of the site. We have a great blog section with a lot of good stuff in there. We got documentaries. We have
current
news,
coming up.
Everything.
I got a blog coming up in the next couple of days, too, guys, so you look out for that.
Yeah, awesome. But, okay, that's all. I just wanted to throw that out real quick. That's therealnewsonline.com. So what else, boys?
I don't know.
We'll wrap it up.
Dom, why don't you finish your statement, then we'll wrap it up. Finish what you were saying, and we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, the one thing I just want to say in closing to everybody is there's a reason why Bill Cooper is shot dead by the federal government in his front yard, and Alex Jones has a mansion and a glass-bottom boat that he has money bombs, and he drives around rubbing elbows with D-list celebrities. It's a big reason for the two differences. But thanks for having me on, guys, and I look forward to doing it again.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, awesome, man. Absolutely. Justin, how about you? What do you got?
No. I just want to say, you know, pretty much I'm a lot of talking, and Dom just said it greatly, you know, the whole thing about Cooper and Jones. So I'll leave it at that. But thanks for listening. Dom, thanks for calling in. We had a great show. Brian, great as always. And
for Justin Cook, Dom DiMaggio, I'm Brian Stavely. We're listening to Real News Radio on the realnewsonline.com. And we are out of here.